Good morning. Welcome to Lakeside Baptist Church. It's good to have all of you gathered today on this first Sunday of Lent. We're grateful that you're here. We're also thankful to have all of those of you who are our guests. We're pleased that you're here with us. We invite you to fill out a guest card so that we'll have an opportunity to get to know you personally. We would love to introduce you to our missions and ministries and involve you in the life of our congregation. We thank you for being here. We had a delightful evening last Sunday night for our missions marketplace. We want to thank our children for an entertaining performance and for all of you who helped to support our silent auction. Over $2,000 was raised for local and global missions, and we are indeed excited about that. We thank you as well for your support of the bake sale and casserole sale yesterday. We are grateful for your contributions and for all of you who came and purchased. There are some items left over, and if you would like to visit Robbins Hall following worship, you may purchase some of those items today. The money raised from the bake sale will go to support local missions and the youth fund trip. We are always grateful for your generosity in every way. As we move throughout this Lenten season, we want to know your thoughts and experiences on the theme of listening alongside echoing Christ. So we invite you to submit devotions based on that theme and your experience of some way listening to God. You may also see those devotions. They are posted on our website each day. You may have them emailed to you. If you will contact the church office, we'll be happy to do that. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. We begin our journey toward Easter with Jesus at the Jordan, and then find him standing at our door. As we ponder those thoughts, let us prepare our hearts and our minds as we worship God.
Thank you.
Eternal God, the light that does not fail, we worship you.
We seek you, not because by our seeking we can find you, but because long since you have sought us.
We do not seek the sun, but open ourselves to its light and warmth when it arises. So may our hearts be responsive to your coming and receptive to your presence.
Merciful God, you invite us in this season of Lent to step away from our busy lives to places of solitude and stillness so that we can listen more attentively for your voice and enter into a more sincere and mindful relationship with you. You reveal yourself through the gift of Scripture and through the grace of your Spirit who abides with us. You draw us out of the depths of our distress. You call us by name and speak peace to our weary souls. You invite us to rest in you and in the promise of Christ's redemptive love. We offer our worship this day in grateful response. In the name of Christ, who gives abundant life for today and hope for all our days to come, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
By self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, self-denial and acts of generosity, reading and meditating on the Word of God, and by listening for God, we endeavor to keep a holy Lent. Let us now confess our sins to God. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and trust in his Son as Savior and Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By the mercy of Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today's gospel lesson is Matthew's account of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness as he prepared for his own ministry. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now God's word. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As a praying community this morning, we gather to remember those in our midst who have special needs. We remember Bobby Colley, who suffered a stroke in the past week or so and is at home with her daughter. We continue to remember Doja Collins and Mary Frances Taylor, who are at Rocky Mount Rehabilitation Center. And we continue to pray for Grace Beasley, Ernest Bridgers, John Capiello, Bob Chappell, Janet Corbett, Natalie Stewart Cortez, John Covolo, Cindy Davis, Jim Dickens, John Farmer, Brenda and John Hartness Jr., Grace Monroe, Harlan Mosley, Elise Mustian, Jack Newton, Mark Odom, Regina Peters, Marie Price, Cody Richardson, Don Scaff, Roland Schmidt, June Sharon, Robert Sykes, Ellen Wallace, Jill Ward, and Jean Wright. As we remember these individuals, we also recall those own needs and joys that are deep within our own souls. Let us offer all of these to God. We are so often seeking forgiveness, O God, and fortunate for us, you are indeed merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. But we do not want to take advantage of your kindness toward us. We do not want our contrition to seem insincere. We do not want to dwell in a wearying cycle of sin, confession, pardon, and more sin. So help us off of the treadmill of our self-centeredness, O God. Teach us how to walk the long road with you so that our sights are set not on the next thrill, but on the journey that leads us to your eternal home. We do not have enough breath to offer all of the praise and gratitude we feel today, but we do know that our hearts well up with thanksgiving for your goodness toward us. Thank you, O God, for every gracious gift that comes our way. Today we begin another Lenten journey, and like Jesus, turn our faces toward the cross and the garden which lies just beyond. Guide us on this journey, we pray. Open our ears that we might listen. Open our hearts that we might grow in likeness to your Son, our Savior. Open our lives that we might share this journey with one another. You know better than we do the needs of our lives and our world, O God. You know better than we do what is best for us and for our world. Help us to understand that you also need us to accomplish your will in the world, and call us to offer ourselves to your service and to your calling. Choose us, we pray, to take the gospel near and far so that your kingdom becomes evident wherever we go and whatever we do. We do seek healing, wholeness, reconciliation, and peace, O God. Bring these gifts to us, we pray, and walk with us throughout these 40 days until we celebrate once again the resurrection of our Christ and our own lives through the one who lived that we might live forever. Amen.
Thank you.
No gift we can bring can match the abundance of your gifts to us, merciful God. But we make ourselves available and obedient to the prompting of your Spirit as we join together as the body of Christ. Receive now these gifts, given with grateful hearts, that your work might be accomplished, your light might shine brightly in the dark places of our world, and your good news might be heard above the noise of conflict and chaos around and within us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
John Cage was an experimental composer, one who studied and explored sounds and their relationships in various contexts and experiences. I mentioned on Ash Wednesday that Cage had composed a piece that he titled 4 minutes and 33 seconds, a piece which consisted of a pianist sitting at the keyboard for that amount of time without making a single sound. Cage further explored the experience of silence when he visited Harvard University's anechoic chamber in 1951. An anechoic chamber is described as a room that is designed in such a way that the walls, the ceilings, and the floor absorb all sound that is made in the room, rather than reflecting those sounds back as echoes. And such a chamber is also externally soundproofed. Naturally, when he entered the room, Cage anticipated the complete absence of sound, but he was surprised to discover that two distinct sounds occurred, one high and one low. When he asked the engineer who was on hand about it, it was explained that the high sound was the sound of his functioning nervous system, while the low sound was the circulation of his blood. Cage concluded from this experience that as long as we live, there is no place that sound does not exist. There will always be something to hear. During this season of Lent, we're going to be listening for God in all of the ways that God communicates with us. As I've mentioned before, in an article about the purpose of the Lenten season, Taylor Burton Edwards explains that the original purpose for Lent was a time for preparing ordinands to be baptized. It was a time of learning or catechesis. The term catechesis is derived from two Greek terms, which mean something like listening alongside. Our word echo also comes from this word. So for us, these weeks prior to Easter are a time to attune our ears and our hearts to God and to listen alongside one another in order to better learn how we can echo Christ in our lives. This morning we've already heard Matthew's account of Jesus' wilderness experience, which followed his own baptism. It sounds immediate. There is some urgency to what he tells us. Jesus is baptized by John, and God offers his affirmation, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." A statement we heard last week when Jesus and three of his disciples were on the mountain. And then we're led to think that with water still dripping from his robe, Jesus walked off into the wilderness, taking his first steps as the Messiah. There's a lot to hear in the back and forth between Jesus and the tempter that took place in that wilderness experience. But for us, I think there is something else for us to listen for this morning. So I want to turn to John's vision as recorded in the book of Revelation. Listen to these words. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is the last of the seven letters that John wrote to the churches in Asia Minor, each one addressing a different community of Christians and their particular spiritual needs. This church was in Laodicea, a wealthy city near Colossae. Because of their good fortune economically, culturally, and personally, They were quite self-confident and felt rather self-sufficient. For that reason, their faith was, as John put it, neither cold nor hot. It was lukewarm, which served no good purpose to anyone, especially to the Laodiceans. This letter was not intended for condemnation, however. Instead, it was addressed to the believers as an invitation. I stand at the door and knock, the risen Christ says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It is an invitation to the messianic banquet, to dine with Christ in the age to come. Some of you will remember a painting from the mid-20th century by Warner Salmon that is titled Christ at Heart's Door. It pictures a first century looking Jesus standing at the door of a cottage, which, with the light which emanates from Christ himself, forms the shape of a heart. It is dark within this little cottage, but Christ knocks, hoping that the inhabitant will answer. And one important feature to note in this picture is that the door has neither latch nor knob on the outside. This detail reminds us that the heart has to be opened from the inside in order to receive Christ. In order to walk with Jesus toward Easter, like him, we must take our first step on that journey. Jesus has identified with his people through the rite of baptism. He has prepared himself for ministry in the wilderness and asserted his determination and strength against the temptation of the devil. Now he is ready to begin his journey, which will take him through Galilee to Jerusalem, into the challenging days of Holy Week, and on to the cross and to the Garden of Resurrection. As he did 2,000 years ago when he invited Simon and Andrew, James and John, and all of the others to follow him, he invites us as well. I stand at the door and knock, he says, as he waits to see if we will open the door. The first thing we must do on our Lenten journey is to listen for the knock. We listen for the invitation of Christ to join him. And I dare say that knock comes in a variety of ways. As a child, that knock was the faithfulness of my parents to demonstrate for me and my brothers that faith in God is important and a way of life. It was the forbearance of Sunday school teachers and mission leaders who tirelessly tried to expose a young boy to the teachings of Jesus. It was the urging of my grandmother to take Scripture to heart, to learn and memorize it, and ingest it as a holy meal. As a teenager, I heard the knock as I began to struggle with relationships, learning the hard lessons of forgiveness and justice and self-control. Jesus knocked as I learned that I could ask questions of the Bible and tradition, and even of God. In college, the knock became louder and more frequent as I opened my ears and eyes to the world, met people who were very different from me, and began to think about my place in the world. Day after day, Jesus knocked on my heart as I pursued a career in ministry, as Deborah and I fell in love, married, and began a family. And to this day, the knocking persists as I continue to learn what it means to live as a person of faith in this world. Do you hear the knock? At times, it is as clear as this sermon, which tells you straightforward that God in Christ is standing at the door of your heart. Right now, knocking and asking you to open the door of your heart and invite him in. But at other times, it is subtle and unmistakable, a throbbing in your chest, which you know to be God's Spirit at work in your life. Sometimes the knock comes when a friend listens and shows you compassion. Sometimes the knock sounds like a snare drum, calling you to action as your life pivots on the injustice and cruelty that you see in our world. Jesus knocks on the door of your heart when hatred and violence are perpetrated against others of your brothers and sisters, when your own life is overwhelmed by a flood of random or self-inflicted tragedies. Jesus pounds on the door of your heart, entreating you to open it and allow him in. When you see the sun set or watch it rise the next morning, Jesus knocks. When a child smiles in your direction or sings a song or laughs at a daffodil reaching for the sun, Jesus knocks on the door of your heart. You could add 1,000 more instances of how and when Jesus has knocked and you have heard. What makes the difference between a heartwarming memory and a life-changing experience, however, is whether or not you answer the knock. God in Christ can stand at the door of our hearts all day long and through the night. But if we ignore the knock as if it is a call of a telemarketer interrupting our supper, it means nothing to us. If we simply drown out the noise by turning up the TV or occupying ourselves with other distractions, it has no effect on us. Listen to the knock. That is why we're here, after all. At some point, we have heard God knock and we've answered. We've invited him in for that promised feast of faith, or at least kept him waiting at the door like an encyclopedia salesman. But the door is at least open. If we have not invited Christ to enter our lives, he continues to ask. We fool ourselves and we do a disservice to the Christian faith when we assume that the season of Lent is a mandated period of somber self-examination, a downer of religious duty. If you recall, Jesus told his followers that whenever they observed a fast, they were not to let others know by walking around in sackcloth and ashes. Instead, they were to wash up, spruce up, and go about their business with a smile because their fasting was between them and God. It was nobody else's business. Lent is a gift to us as an opportunity to give real thought to our faith, to explore its meaning and impact in our lives, and to realize the power of faith to change our world. Lent is a time of reflection and should include self-examination, but it is also an exciting time for us to explore our faith altogether. We need to open that door. Don Sayers, who taught theology and worship at the Candler School of Theology for many years, reflected on that picture of Christ standing at the door, persistently knocking. He said, "I came to see that holiness makes demands and asks questions, just as in Revelation 3:20, which inspired Solomon to paint the image. Holiness was not a one-night stand with God, but a lifetime journey, leading in season and out of season, not a sentimental feeling, but a process of coming to live with who Jesus is." Too much of our popular religious activity today does treat God as a one-night stand, an entertaining companion who will make us feel good and liven up the party. Jesus enjoyed having a good time as much as anyone else, but his commitment was to help us understand how to live faithfully day by day. Lent is an opportunity for us to listen to him. So listen. Jesus knocks. For some of us, he knocks, hoping that we will open our heart, the door of our heart for the first time and truly invite him in. And opening the door is the first step of our journey of faith. For others of us, Jesus knocks, hoping that we will open the door to fresh air, which will fan the flame of our faith once again, causing us to burn brightly with the love of God. In some cases, God in Christ knocks, hoping that we will ask him to develop a deeper, richer relationship. And for some of us, Christ knocks with urgency, entreating us to open the door to an engagement of our faith with the injustice of the world. Jesus knocks. Listen. We can try to ignore all of the sounds in the world which compete for our attention. We can try to ignore the sound of Christ knocking on the door of our heart. But even if we could find for ourselves an anechoic chamber where all outside noise is banished and even all of the words of Christ are silenced, we would still hear two things: our nervous system at work reacting to all that is going on around us, and the pulse of our own heart, which, if you listen, sounds very much like a steady knock on a door. Listen to the knock. It is God in Christ wanting to enter your heart and cause it to echo with his love and grace. Listen. Let us pray. We hear you knocking, O God. It is unmistakable and unavoidable. But sometimes we try not to listen, not to hear. We try to mute that noise, to close it out, to push it away, until we realize that it is the knocking of our own heart. Help us to open our hearts, O God, to invite you in, where you might dwell with us, and truly, through the Spirit of Christ, change our lives and our world. Continue to knock, we pray. Amen. Together now, as people on a journey, let us affirm our faith. We believe in God the Creator, who spoke and the stars, planets, and vastness of the universe were formed, who called out for plants and animals to inhabit the earth, and who whispered each of us to life. We have ears to hear. Let us listen. We believe in God the Son, whose infant cries and childish laughter made him our brother, whose words offered comfort and insight, challenge and hope, and whose cries on the cross and alleluias in the garden brought us eternal life. We have ears to hear. Let us listen. We believe in God the Spirit, who daily reminds us of divine love and compassion, who counsels us toward justice, mercy, and humility, and who encourages us to echo Christ to the world. We have ears to hear. Let us listen. We have ears to hear. Let us listen. For Christ indeed knocks on the door of our heart, first of all asking us to open the door so that he might enter in, offering us redemption and new life in him. He knocks on the door of our heart so that we might open ourselves to one another, claiming one another as brother and sister, asking one another to walk alongside us on this journey of faith. And he continues to pound upon the door of our hearts, asking us to open them to the world, to the needs of the world and the cries that are there, that we might echo Christ's love throughout the world so that others too may open their hearts to him. Christ knocks. Let us listen. go forth from this place, may God help us to hear his voice. May he help us in all we do. May we realize our full inclusion in his family and offer praise and thanksgiving to him.